Hello, my name is Teresa Markila, and I'm a co-chair of the Green Party of New Jersey. Thank you for joining us for this short conversation on some issues within U.S. imperialism and the military. These are topics of immediate concern around the world and here at home, yet they're neglected during election seasons such as this, and they're not well addressed in mainstream media at any time. I have with me today three activists for peace and justice: Ajamu Baraka, a national organizer with Black Alliance for Peace, and a human rights defender whose experience spans three decades of domestic and international education and activism; Madeline Hoffman, an environmental activist and leader in the Movement for Peace, who is running for U.S. Senate this year for the Green Party; and Diane Moxley, an activist for economic and social justice, a people's services attorney, and the Green Party candidate for U.S. Congress in New Jersey's 7th District. Welcome, everyone.
Hi. Hello. Thanks. Hi. Thanks for hosting this.
I'd like to start with Ajamu. Can you give us a definition of imperialism and tell us why it's an important issue we should be talking about?
Well, thank you. This is going to be a very important conversation, I think, and to be followed up with a more in-depth conversation October 14th. The conversation on imperialism is important because no one's talking about imperialism. And in its most simple definition, imperialism is the attempt by a nation state to expand its power and influence over another set of territories or territory, nations, peoples, through direct or indirect means, through military conquest, or through political and economic control. It is the expression of what has emerged as the dominant relationships among states over the last few hundred years. It's characterized by a set of states that found themselves at the apex of the global system. Those states are primarily the Western European states, along with the U.S., and there's a reason for that. The ascendancy of Europe came about as a consequence of the first quote-unquote modern expressions of what became imperialism, and that was the invasion of the Americas in 1492. The form of imperialism at that time took the form of direct conquest, colonization, and it resulted in the overdevelopment, if you will, of various European nation states as they developed into nation states, and the vast underdevelopment of the vast majority of the world's populations. And that material disparity is what we have today. That makes up the objective reality of relations among and between states. Right now, those dominant states, the U.S. and the European nations, are attempting to maintain their hegemony, to maintain the global imperialist order as it is presently constituted. Those of us who are of conscience, who are opposed to domination, or who believe that we can build a better world in which exploitation and oppression by peoples and nations can be eliminated, we are opposed to this present order, and we are involved in resistance movements. So this conversation, to talk about how that resistance looks, what are the particular kinds of manifestations of the imperialist order is vitally important. And in the process, we'll get an even better understanding, I think, of why we have to continue to talk about imperialism.
Thank you. Madeline Hoffman, would you like to share some of your thoughts about imperialism?
Yes, and thank you, Ajamu, for that very direct and hard-hitting definition. And it is, as you said, it is so rare for us to hear this kind of language being used, and it's so rare to have this kind of conversation, whether it's during elections or in between elections. And you made me think of a day that's coming up very soon in October, and that is what we euphemistically call Columbus Day, because we celebrate it as the day that Columbus discovered America. And clearly, there's been a move over the last number of years to change that around. It's the day that Columbus invaded the United States. So there were people here for many years. It wasn't the United States then, but the continent here. There are people here for many years before Columbus got here, and that those people have, or that fact has been largely forgotten. Also, you made me think, or prompted me to think about October 7th. I guess it's a couple of days before Columbus, so-called Columbus Day, October 7th being the date in 2001 when the United States invaded Afghanistan. And it's this is a war that, or an undeclared war, and one other military action that remains in effect. It's been now 17 years, the longest military action the United States has been involved in. And lastly, just for openers anyway, to talk about the United States and its support for Saudi Arabia and what Saudi Arabia has done both in Syria and also even more, and with catastrophic consequences, the bombing of Yemen. And my opponent in this U.S. Senate race, Senator Menendez, is silent on Yemen. He's silent on Palestinian, the Israeli occupation, Palestine. He's silent on all of these major issues, and in fact, just recently voted, along with all the Democrats, for the latest military budget, almost $700 billion. So we need to shake up things here, not just here, but all around the country, so that we can have a different, kind of foreign policy and domestic policy.
Thank you. Diane Moxley, would you like to share your initial thoughts about imperialism and why it matters to you?
I was just jotting some little notes down, listening to Ajamu and Madeline, and just about, you know, how we're feeling during this time period of our midterm elections. And, you know, right now we have this midterm elections hysteria, and, you know, it doesn't matter whether you have the Democrats in office or the Republicans in office. They are both pro-war. They are both pro-imperialism. So I guess it's a lonely, hard world for us on the left to be in right now with these narratives, the propaganda and the hysteria. And I'll just touch on a little bit, because Madeline was talking about, you know, with her opponents. And in my race in Congressional District 7, we have the incumbent, Leonard Lance, who's clearly not pro-peace. He's a Republican. But in this district, which is a changing district, I believe there's potential for progressives to have a louder voice. But the Democrats have picked this Tom Malinowski, who's a State Department, National Security Council, you know, he was in D.C. up until about September of 2017. And, you know, our voices are getting lost in this hysteria. So my comment, I guess, is more of a question for Ajamu of, you know, what do we on the left do? You know, how do we deal with this mass hysteria right now? So I'd love to hear, you know, some advice for us on the ground, you know, what to do.
Well, that's a very important and difficult question. we know that this issue of war and militarism is an issue that should be a primary focus of conversation, of debate here in this country, but it's not. We know that not only in your district, but across the country, the Democrats have engaged in a strategy where they have self-consciously recruited individuals from the military and intelligence apparatus. They have, instead of moving politics more in a more progressive direction, they are almost doubling down in trying to consolidate some type of centrist politics and playing into the idea that the state has to be bolstered militarily, and that the Democrats have the maturity and the leadership ability to be the best stewards of the interests of the empire. And therefore, they have propped up their ranks with these individuals from the military and the intelligence agencies. Mm-hmm. And that's why this conversation and your candidacies are so incredibly important. Because without your presence in these races to raise these kinds of critical issues, there will be no real debate. There will be the continuation of a normalization of rightist politics. The idea that the U.S. population would just naturally support our pro-war positions. Well, we know that that's not really the case. There are significant numbers of people who are very much concerned about the fact that we are we have been at war for 17 years in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. They're concerned mm-hmm. about the fact that we have reinvaded Iraq, mm-hmm. And that the U.S. troops are now in Syria, and the Trump administration announced a few weeks ago that basically it was going to maintain an occupation of Syria no matter what. There are many people concerned about the fact that we have record military budgets and that both parties went further than the obscene request that Trump made when he wanted to increase the military budget by $54 billion. And at first there was opposition to that, even among the Democrats. But then it seems like a memo went out and all of a sudden the Democrats went silent on that issue of increasing the military budget. And then we know what happened. They basically fell behind the Republicans and the Trump administration. And not only did they give Trump his $54 billion increase, they exceeded that and gave him around $80 billion. So what we have to do is to raise these issues, to give voice to those elements of the population that are not willing to play the game, to organize campaigns in non-traditional ways, that we're not just going to target those elements of the population that participate in the electoral process. We're going to contest, but we need to fashion campaigns that have us in contact, in connection with those other sectors of the population that may not be participating right now, but who have a much more critical perspective on how things are operating here in this country and globally. So we have to just be consistent, raise the issues, and do what you all are both doing in your campaigns. You go to your websites, the politics and the perspectives of your campaigns are quite clear. There doesn't seem to be any equivocation. That's what we have to have at this moment in history: clear politics and the courage to articulate these kinds of critiques and positions with boldness and conviction.
Ajamu, thank you for all that. I just want to add something to what Diane was saying and what you were saying in regard to these Democrats that are being selected, hand-selected to run all around the country. CIA connected, perhaps State Department connected, to continue the reach of the military industrial complex. In New Jersey, on the 15th of October, Hillary Clinton is coming to campaign for Senator Menendez. And sometime in October, Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright is coming in to campaign for one of Diane's opponents, Tom Malinowski. And when I heard that, I heard all I heard in my brain were the two most callous statements made by any secretaries of state in the last 10 or 15 years, both in regard to the children of Iraq, Madeleine Albright's statement, and Hillary Clinton in terms of Gaddafi in Libya. And I would like for you to respond to or react to the fact that those two women in particular, State Department women in particular, are coming into New Jersey to campaign for both Diane and my opponents.
Well, you know, it's a reflection of the kind of politics that the Democrat Party is committed to. And it really reflects a very short-sighted understanding of where the general public is also. But, you know, it's not surprising. You all have to remind the people of the positions of these individuals, in particular, Madeleine Albright, and the role she played in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq, in terms of helping to soften that situation with undermining the ability of the Iraqi state to provide basic services to the people of that country, resulting in a 500,000 children dying, and Madeleine Albright saying that the price was worth it. Was it worth it for the kids that died and their families? No, it was worth it in terms of the long-term objective interest of the U.S. state. Kind of callous, inhumane, anti-democratic, anti-human rights positions have to be exposed. So you have an opportunity to, in fact, do that. And, you know, we've got to hammer home the critique that these individuals represent status quo politics, the politics of empire, and that they have nothing to offer to the people beyond more of the same, more war, more misery and anxiety on the part of working class people in that state. That has to be our positions. They come into the states. I think that your supporters should throw up pickets against them and rage of militarism and war. This is the issue that the Green Party has to embrace, in my opinion. This is our issue, and we've got to be aggressive with that. You know, we have in the anti-war movement, we've taken up this task. We have embraced what we are calling the anti-war autumn, where we are attempting to raise this issue of war and militarism with the hope that more people will talk about it, and it can in fact become a issue in the midterms. And so I wanted to just lay that out there too, that this is something that we are working on. It's something that we can utilize as we try to bring more attention to this issue of war and peace, and and both parties' commitment to ongoing U.S. imperialism.
As part of the anti-war autumn, in fact, here in Morristown, New Jersey, on October 14th, we're hosting a forum on imperialism. Thank you, Ajamu, for agreeing to participate in that as well. Madeleine Hoffman and Diane Moxley will also both be there. And we have sent out invitations to the other federal candidates as well and have not gotten any replies yet, but they are welcome to join us. Diana Madeline, how else are you bringing the anti-war autumn into your campaigns this season?
Well, I'll talk first about a couple things, and then I know Diane will talk about the Women's March on the Pentagon. But I'm going to, on October 15th, when Hillary Clinton comes to town, and I would like, at some point, Jamu, maybe you can make the connection between Hillary and Libya and AFRICOM and your organization's efforts along those lines. But what we're planning, we are going to have a counter-protest. We don't have all the details in place yet, but some of this discussion has given me some ideas about that. Also, we're going to acknowledge October 7th as the anniversary of the invasion of Afghanistan. And then on the 13th of October, this also feeds into something that we've been involved with together. We're going to be going as a campaign stop to the joint military bases in Ocean County. And that's three different military bases in New Jersey that all occupy the same space. And we'll be doing some live streaming there, discussing the cost of military bases around the world, where, you know, how many, the 800 military bases that there are around the world, the need to shut down the military bases around the world, and that will all kind of lead up to October 20th. And Diane, would you, I'm sure, can shed light on what we're doing for the Women's March on the Pentagon?
Yeah, sure. And I was just going to touch on that Madeline and I in New Jersey have crossed paths for several years now with the anti-war circles. And now it's great to be able to work with Madeline, because I think sometimes we'd be coming and going and hadn't really got to meet each other until just over a year ago, although we find ourselves in common pictures throughout actions and events that we've
been before we knew each other.
Yeah, so now we're a force to be reckoned with together. And I'm really, really honored to be part of the steering committee with the Women's March on the Pentagon. And that is one thing I will allow myself to leave the state for during this campaign season. And it's kind of easy for us in North Jersey to get to DC, but this is a really, really special event. There are going to be actions beginning on October 20th, and then the big march on the Pentagon is on the 21st, and it's about confronting the bipartisan war machine, because as mm-hmm. we've talked about, it doesn't matter whether you have a D or an R after your name, you are participating in the war machine, you are benefiting from the military-industrial complex, and this is going to be an event that, no, it's not a blue wave event. It's an anti-war event, and that's what I love about the organizers. That, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We're about stopping war, and the blue wave is not stopping any wars anytime soon. And for more information, you can go to marchonpentagon.com. And at the website there are links for local actions. If you can't come to DC, you can even register your own event. If you're not able to come out, you can create a small event of any size. There's also a link to write your own letter to about your reason for opposing the war machine. And yeah, we anti-war and pro-peace are strong elements of our campaign. So I am excited about the forum. And when we do talk to voters, we talk about the war machine, the huge amounts of money that are supported by either side. And I think we have similar opponents with the D's and the R's for Madeline's race and my race, that you're not really getting that much different.
No. Yeah.
in either candidate.
And if they breathe the word war, we don't know it because it's quiet, it's silent, we don't hear it. It's not, like you said earlier, it's not even a part of their campaigns. Even though we've been trying to get them to speak on war, we're not successful.
No, they're not talking about that at all.
But we have statements from the Democrat Party that indicates where the party stands on these issues of war and U.S. imperialism.
Yes.
We look at the response that they made when Trump, in the run-up to the Trump meeting with the North Korean leader. They basically attempted to sabotage that, and in fact wanted the administration to take positions that would have resulted in the real possibility of a military conflict, because there was no way that the Koreans were going to agree to those terms.
Right.
The same thing with the recklessness we see with the conflict in Syria and the kinds of positions that they are prepared to support the Trump administration engaging in vis-a-vis Russia and Iran. Very, very dangerous. And then we just saw a statement, very dangerous statement that came out today from the Trump NATO representative, where she said, Bailey Hutchinson, she said that basically if the Russians didn't shut down their program for supposedly for mid-range missiles, that the Trump administration would destroy them themselves directly.
Yes.
Madness. And yes, no real reaction, though, from the Democrats. So we've got to use this to, even if those candidates are not saying anything directly, we've got to push them to take definitive positions on these issues of war and peace. You know, where do they stand? We can't allow them to remain silent on this issue, because the consequences of it is too devastating for too many people.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I'd like you, Ajamu, to please tell us about the campaign for AFRICOM. What is it and how we can help with that?
Well, this is part of the efforts to raise these issues of militarism and war in this country, and part of the anti-war autumn. We are part of a broader coalition, the Coalition to Close All U.S. Foreign Bases, that was created in January of this year in Baltimore. That coalition has expanded. Madeline's involved in this work, where we are now organizing a international conference in Ireland in November. And we're going to expand the campaign to not only address U.S. foreign bases, but also NATO foreign bases. The campaign to shut down AFRICOM is part of that effort. It is part of the coalition to close down U.S. foreign bases. We are working on that issue, taking a specific and targeted look at AFRICOM as a Black Alliance of Peace. So we launched our campaign yesterday. We'll be calling for the U.S. to basically shut down AFRICOM, the U.S. Africa Command, and get the hell out of Africa, basically. Mm-hmm. This campaign and what they're doing, what the U.S. is doing in Africa, is really the flip side of the kind of repression and militarism we see the state engaged in on the domestic side. So we're making that connection between domestic militarism and war, and the AFRICOM and the aggressive expansion of the U.S. military on the Africa continent. October the 1st was the 10-year anniversary of AFRICOM. Mm. So we're calling on people to support this. We have a petition that's on our website, blackallianceforpeace.com. We're trying to get 30,000 signatures in the next couple of months. We are, talking about accountability. We are calling out the Congressional Black Caucus to make a definitive statement on where they stand on this issue of AFRICOM. Do they stand with the people, or do they support this militarized command? So we are going to deliver those petitions to the Congressional Black Caucus. So please go to the website, sign the petitions, consider joining the coalition to abolish all foreign U.S. bases. If you can, make it to Ireland for the international conference, where we're going to expand that to also deal with NATO. This is part of the efforts to raise the visibility of this issue of war and militarism.
But John, was not the AFRICOM begun right after Gaddafi was assassinated? Was that the beginning, or was it a little bit before that?
Well, no, it was put in place October the 1st, 2008. It was proposed in 2007 by the Bush administration. Now, what you raised was very important, because there was almost universal opposition on the part of African states to AFRICOM. Therefore, they had to base it in Stuttgart, Germany, when they launched it in October of 2008. In 2009, Muammar Gaddafi became the president of the African Union. This is the regional formation that is working for African unity on the continent. And we all know that two years later, in 2011, Libya was under military attack by the U.S. and NATO. And with the consequence, of course, being that Libya, the most prosperous state on the African continent, was completely devastated. And Muammar Gaddafi was basically brutalized, tortured, and murdered. The consequence now is that Libya is a destroyed state. People refer to it as a failed state, but it didn't fall based on its own internal contradictions. It was destroyed. As a consequence of Libya being destroyed, the opposition to AFRICOM began to dissolve. And that's when there was an aggressive expansion of the U.S. presence on the African continent, resulting in today military-to-military relationships between the U.S. and African states of about 53 of the 54 African states, an expansion of bases on the African continent, a 2,200-acre drone base in Niger. So the military footprint on the African continent took off as a consequence of the destruction of the Libyan state in 2011.
That's one reason why I'm so angry that Hillary Clinton is coming into New Jersey to campaign for Senator Menendez. She of the "we came, we saw, he died," and the giggle or the chortle, whatever you want to call it afterwards, as if to say that was just, you know, again, that was the U.S. right to do it. It was okay to do it. It's all part of the imperial state, the creation of empire. And for her to be campaigning in New Jersey for Senator Menendez, to me, shows how debased his position is on war. And it's not just Hillary Clinton, of course. We've talked about the others, Madeleine Albright and others.
Yeah, they ask them. They need to be called out in terms of their position on war, their positions on international law, and international human rights.
Right.
Let them make definitive comments on where they stand on those issues, because the ultimate violation of human rights is the violating the right to life, and the expression of warmongering. So we've got to call these folks out. They want to pretend to be defenders of human rights. Well, where do you stand on these issues of war? Where do you stand on the issue of international law and working through the international body that is supposed to attempt to resolve conflicts through peaceful means? and that is the United Nations. What do you stand on the issue of the International Small Arms Treaty? Where do you stand with the position that the U.S. arms industry should be curtailed? What do you stand on the issue of nuclear proliferation? The United Nations voted that all nuclear weapons should be abolished. That was opposed by the U.S. Is that a position that the Democrats also embrace, or do they oppose the proliferation of nuclear weapons? Let's get these folks on the record with some of these positions.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes, so Madeline, you're also an environmental activist. I wonder if you could say a few words connecting military imperialism and the environmental issues that we have these days.
Oh my goodness, yes, I'll say just a few because otherwise we could be here for another 45 minutes. But no, first of all, the military is the largest polluter in this country and probably in the world as well. It's also the largest consumer of fossil fuels, which is extremely ironic because most of the wars are conducted for oil. And so that's part of the Green Party position, is to get off of fossil fuels. That would eliminate one of the reasons for war. Also, the release of greenhouse gases from the burning of fossil fuels has led to climate change, which has led to drought, which has led to wars of climate change, in fact, where people are trying, like part of what happened in Syria is people were fighting over the resources. Part of what's happening in Israel-Palestine is a fight over the water resources. And the addition of climate change is making that even more urgent. So the military, if the military were organized to fight climate change, that would be a good thing. But the military is not organized to fight climate change. The military is contributing to climate change. And if you look at Yemen and the amount of famine there, part of the reason for the famine is the devastation of the earth, devastation of the environment, because of the countless bombs that are being dropped on the Yemeni people, including, as we all know, a Lockheed Martin bomb that dropped on a school bus of 40, killing 40 or 41 school children. So the logic of the military is all wrong, in addition to being wrong about imperialism, thinking that all the resources around the world are up for grabs. If we want to grab them, we should take them. It's just overall not good for the environment or for the people.
Thanks. Diane, a question for you. Would you like to talk a little bit more about the economic injustices, the massive military budgets that we have, and how it affects people here at home?
Sure. As Ajamu said in the beginning, we just have these massive military budgets, about $700 billion with the defense budget. But then there's all other hidden expenditures that make the budget really go over $1 trillion by the time it's all said and done. And, in our own country, we have our infrastructure is falling apart. We could use that money to build a renewable, green, get us off fossil fuels infrastructure that would, actually even help stimulate jobs at home, because our military budget is just over 50% of the federal budget. So even if we just took a fraction of that, the things that could be done and the investments at home that could be done, from anything from, when we were at the No Foreign Bases conference in Maryland in January, right, we had the problem with the schools in Baltimore not having any heat and kids sitting in classrooms in full winter gear. I mean, that's just horrific. When you look at know, if you take the 10 next highest spending countries, military spending combined, we still outspend them by leaps. So it's just really, you know, you got to look, as they always say, follow the money. You know, we have to call our politicians out. They're benefiting from the military-industrial complex, as our people are suffering, and people around the world, as has been laid out with Ajamu and Madeline. You know, from everything from environmental to just, you know, outright exploitation and oppression of people globally. So, and I guess then, yeah, it's our duty, it's our obligation to get this information out to our voters, to our non-registered voters to be, to motivate and mobilize people in our communities.
Great. So we'll just go through and I'll give you all a chance to have some last thoughts. And make sure you say your website as well during your last thoughts. We'll start with Madeline.
Yes, my website is hoffmanforus.com, and I have worked for the last 20 years as a director of a nonprofit peace organization. I'm part of the Coalition to Close U.S. Foreign Military Bases. I'm part of the steering committee also for the Women's March on the Pentagon, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can during this anti-war autumn to raise the issues that Ajamu has raised about the need to stop our imperialistic actions and behaviors around the world, the need to stop the wars, the need to bring the money, the war dollars here back home, and create a much safer and more secure world than the one we live in now.
Thanks, Diane.
Yes, for more information about my campaign, my website is moxleyforus.com. And as you mentioned earlier, I've been an attorney at Essex Nork Legal Services in Nork for over 14 years. So the work I have done for, you know, most of my adult life has been, you know, from the activism to, you know, anti-war activism since the first Iraq war. It is about, you know, reaching out to these communities that really bear the brunt of our U.S. imperialism at home and abroad. It does its toll throughout our country and through, you know, globally, as we've said. So, for more information, please check out my website. And I hope to be doing organizing with Madeline and Ajamu at some of these conferences. I'm looking forward to the upcoming conference in Ireland and hope to be able to attend. So anybody out there, please look into the No Foreign Bases conference, and hopefully we'll at least have some streaming out there. Because when I went to the conference in January, you have to really spend a few days with this stuff. And even then, the amount of knowledge that you gain from these conferences is just so very, very valuable. So tune in, even if you can't be there, tune into the websites and catch some of the streamings. I'm sure there will be some out there. Thanks.
Thanks. And some last words to Ajamu?
Well, it's been really a pleasure to have this conversation. We need to have more of these conversations. This issue of war and militarism is not going to go away. So we continue to build effective oppositional organizations that can oppose the permanent war agenda of this duopoly. It is a human rights issue. And if we don't build the capacity of the people to put a brake on these maniacs who are making a policy, then we have no one else to blame but ourselves. So the historic task is quite obvious to me. this is the number one issue for us to organize around. There's tremendous potential because the issues of war and military spending connect up with almost every other issue that impact working class and poor folks and people conscious in dialogue. Tune in October 14th for in-depth conversation. Very, very important march on October 1st, Pentagon. I love that target. Join us in November. It'll be after the election. On the 10th, we are organizing a peace congress to end the wars at home and abroad in Washington, D.C., to be followed by a march to take back the Armistice Day for peace. So there's a number of activities. Myself and Cindy, we're having a national teleconference call October 18th, 8 o'clock, I think it is. You can go to the Black Alliance for Peace or go to the Green Power Project and get information on that call. So there's a number of activities being organized to raise up this issue of peace, human rights, social justice, all of these issues that are interconnected. We hope that you all get involved. You understand that the power to change things really does reside with us. It is, really is truly in our hands.
Thank you. And we here at the Green Party of New Jersey are going to continue this conversation. Join us at the Imperialism Forum again on October 14th. And we will post links as well alongside this video. We're going to have lots of opportunities to expand this discussion and take it further so you can learn a lot more. Keep pressing all of your candidates. I encourage everyone to ask the questions, talk about it, bring it up at every debate you can, every town hall. It's important and it is neglected too much. So thank you again, everyone, for being here tonight.